Chapter 13, verse 8 to 14. So if you'd like to open your Bibles to that. Before we read God's word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word that you give us, Lord, the word of life. We thank you for revealing yourself to us through your word, Lord, for giving us everything that we need to honour you and glorify you and everything that we need to accept you into our lives as well, Lord. We pray that as we open your word, that you guide us through it, Lord. We pray for John as well, Lord. We pray that you give him your spirit so that he can lead us through this part of scripture, Lord, and that he can explain it to us. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 through to 14. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow men has fulfilled the law. The commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule: love your neighbour as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbour, therefore love is the fulfilment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Thank you, John.
Thanks, Ed, and thank you, congregation, for the opportunity to minister the Word of God to you. Our focus this morning is going to be on the verses 11 to 14 of that passage we just read, and I trust that you've still got the 1 Thessalonians 5 passage handy. If you haven't, maybe you'd like to take a moment just to flick back to 1 Thessalonians 5 and put this morning's little news sheet or something in there. We're going to come to that in a little while, but not straight away. So our focus today are the verses 11 to 14 of Romans chapter 13, and we're looking at it under the title, Time to Wake Up and Get Dressed. Well, congregation, I'd like to begin this morning by asking a personal question. You don't have to put up your hands or tell me, but I'm sure you and your loved ones know, are you a morning person? Are you one of... You're much more cooperative than my own congregation. Are you one of those people who, either when the alarm goes off or before, you jump up and you're ready to face the day? Or are you the opposite? You're not a morning person. The alarm goes off and you reach over and you hit the snooze button. And not just once. Maybe you're in between. Now, whether you're a morning person or not, I'm sure one thing's true for all of us. If something big is going to happen that day, we'll be up, dressed, and ready to go. If it's a job interview or an exam, or perhaps a holiday, an overseas trip we've been looking forward to and planning for a long time, when the big day comes, we're going to be up, out of bed, dressed, and ready to go. And really, that's what these verses 11 to 14 are all about. We can think of them as being a bit like a wake-up call to all of us. It was a wake-up call to the church in Rome. Paul had been writing to this church about the gospel. And I'm sure here in this congregation, that's something you've heard often. In this book, Paul spends the first well, 11 chapters or so, talking about the problem of sin and how God saves us through that by his Son, Jesus. He hits chapter 12 and he starts to open up some of the practical implications of this for the people of God who live in the real world. And when he hits chapter 13, he keeps on in the same theme. He begins looking at what it means to be a good citizen and our attitude to the government. He looks at what it means to be a good neighbour, and that's where Ed read for us from verse 8. And he finishes that little section there reminding us of the importance of love. The thing that should mark us as the followers of Jesus is the love of Jesus. And it's there that Paul launches into our text, and you'll see it in this opening phrase here, this whole emphasis on love, and he goes on to say, and do this understanding the present time. There is something, congregation, we as God's people must know, because most people don't know. And I'd like to ask if you know what the time is. Not the time on your watch, not the time you hope will finish, but what is the time? The time on God's calendar of events, in his plan of salvation. What is the time we are living in today as we stand on the end almost of 2008 and are to launch into 2009? That's what Paul's talking about here, and he's saying in verses 11 to 14, it's time to get up, get dressed, and be ready for the big event. And really, there's only two things he says in these verses. And the first is that we must know what time it is, and I've touched on that already, but that knowledge should lead to action. It's meant to be a truth that lives in our heads and our hearts and that actually shapes our lives and helps us as we leave one year and go into the next. And we'll look at that in just a moment. But let's take a moment now to look at the time in which we live. It's something we must know. Paul writes and reminds us here that the time we live in is unlike any other. We are living, congregation, in the most exciting time of human history. Did you know that? Have a look at verse 12. Come with me to verse 12, and Paul puts it this way. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Can you see the picture? It's like that time in the morning where the first rays of sunlight come peeking over the horizon. That's the time in which we're living. And it's reminding us of something too, that we're living in a time of darkness where the light has yet to dawn. And the darkness is all around us. And it's true, isn't it? In Australia today, there are millions upon millions of people who live as if God and his gospel doesn't exist. There are so many who are passionate about causes like the environment or children's health or third world poverty, but are stone cold when it comes to Jesus and his grace. There are so many who are aware of spiritual things and who are earnestly searching, but they are not finding their answers and they are not interested in the truths we preach and hold to as churches. We are surrounded by the darkness. And since the time of Adam and Eve having eaten the fruit, this world has lain in darkness. But as you yourselves have known and you celebrated it just a few days ago, into that darkness a light has shone. The prophet Isaiah picks up that, and the New Testament gospel writers pick that up, that the light of God's grace has shone in this world of darkness. in the person of Jesus. And remember what he said. I am the light of the world. And the light is shining in the darkness, and it is shining also through you and your ministry. And as you continue on, and as you preach, and as you live to the glory of God, and maintain your witness here and wherever else you are, the light comes further and further to break down that darkness. And it's that picture that Paul is speaking of here. The darkness is here, but the light is coming upon it. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Some 1950 years after Paul wrote these words, the same truth is here, but even more urgent. Do you know the time in which we're living? It's the time the Bible calls the last days, between the first coming and the second coming of Jesus. It's like being at the footy, and it's the last quarter, and the clock is ticking down. It's just that we can't see it. But when the time comes, the siren will blow and the game will be over. And that's how it is in God's timetable. Only one more thing needs to happen. All of the elect need to be called in, and God will send Jesus back. He will say, "This is it. I'm going to bring in a new world. And I'm going to send my son back to judge the living and the dead." Now, we're not there yet, but it is coming. Remember what we read in that opening verse in 1 Thessalonians 5? The day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. He will come. It's as sure as you're sitting here this morning. We just don't know exactly when. And every Sunday you sit here, and every Christmas and New Year you celebrate, is one closer. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Did you know that? You see, that's one of the big differences between those who don't share the faith of the gospel and us. They live as if there'll always be another holiday and another footy season and another work week, etc. And we don't, because we know that one day the hand of God's clock will strike the hour, and that'll be it, and he'll say, "This is it, it's all over. I'm going to wrap it up now." And come back with me now, if you would, to our text in verse 11. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Paul is reminding us that the time is coming when Jesus will return to finish the work of salvation. And you and I, all we who believe, will live in a new world where there is no brokenness or pain, where there is no discouragement or depression, where there are no broken families and deserted husbands and battered wives. A time will come when sickness and sadness will be gone. Everything that is wrong and sinful and unjust and crooked in this world will be gone. And sin, your sin if you're a believer, and mine, will be gone. And no longer will we see in a mirror dimly. We shall see our Saviour face to face. And life will be more wonderful, more glorious, more blessed than anything you can even imagine. It's coming. But we're not there yet. Do you know the time? The time in which we're living. It's that time when the night is almost over and the day is almost here. You see, we must. As the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must know the time in which we live. It's so important. And that's why Paul goes on from here, because he understands that knowing this equips us for life in the real world. Do you want a church that's on fire? That's filled with the Spirit? That stands like a light on a hillside for others to see? Do you want a life that is anything but dull and colourless and boring? Then you must know this time. You must get out of that cycle of just getting up in the morning and rolling into the day, thinking that it's like any other, because it isn't. And the Christians in Rome, it seems, had forgotten a little bit of that, and they had fallen asleep, and they were slumbering. And when the alarm was going off, they were just reaching out and hitting the snooze button. And that's not what the Lord wants. He wants us to understand the time in which we live, so that we will live in this world to make a difference and help them understand what the time is. And that's what we want to look at next. We want to see that knowing this helps us think, live, and speak the right way. Have a look with me at our text. Come back to verse 12, and we just said it. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. And then he continues on, and there's a few verses that follow, the verses that say, so. In other words, as a result of this, therefore. There is meant to be something that flows out of this knowledge that's to live in your head and your heart, and it's meant to shape you as a person living in a world of darkness. So, what does he say? Let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light. It's a call to get up, get out of bed, and don't stay in your pyjamas. There's a big day coming. It's like when there's a job interview or you've got a trip ready to go. You don't go to the airport in your PJs. You don't roll up at a job interview or an exam in your night clothes or your underwear. You get dressed for the occasion, and that's what Paul is talking about here. But it's not just clothes, it's armour. And he's making a point here. To be awake is to be at war. And he doesn't just say it here. Come with me back to 1 Thessalonians 5 for just a moment. Don't lose Romans 13. We're going to come back to that. But let me see you how he picks up that same sort of idea in 1 Thessalonians 5. Have a look at verse 6. He's talked about them being sons of light and sons of the day. You don't belong to the night or to the darkness, verse 5. So then, verse 6, let us not be like others who are asleep. But let us be alert and self-controlled. Come straight to verse 8 with me. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate. Here again, it's not just clothes. It's armour and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Now, why does he say these things? Because he understands that in the real world, everywhere you go, there is a weapon of Satan that's aimed at your chest and that's aimed at your head. He wants to invade your heart. He wants to pollute your mind. He wants to do whatever it takes to wreck your faith, ruin your family, and wreck this church. And if he can, he will. So you're out there in the battle. We're not playing games here. If you're awake, you're at war. Don't go to war in your jammies. You wouldn't be in Iraq in your underwear. We all understand that. So let's not do it in real life. Now, let's have a look what that looks like. Come back with me. I hope you don't mind flicking to and fro, but it's important. And you'll see we're not just plucking things out of the air. And Paul says this for good reason. Come back with me, if you would, in verse 13 of our text. We're following on here that which is meant to follow right thinking. Let us behave decently as in the daytime. And then he has a look at a couple of different categories of things, and I'm going to roll the first two together. The first one is orgies and drunkenness, and the second is immorality and debauchery. I've got another personal question. This time you can put up your hand if you like. Who went to an orgy last night? I guess if you did, you probably wouldn't be here, but... Okay. We read these words, and we think they're for everybody else. Orgies and drunkenness, immorality and debauchery. If you're not sure what debauchery means, it just means wasting your life, being legless and in the gutter after a party. That's debauchery. And congregation, you may not think that's a big thing for you. You may not even think you've got an issue in any of these areas. But let me ask you, what if you're lonely or depressed? What if you're a frustrated housewife or a working mum who's married to a man who just doesn't understand how you tick? He's a great provider, but he doesn't understand things like tenderness and romance. What if you're here today as a frustrated husband? And you're married to a woman who's a great mother, but you long that there'd be a bit more passion, a bit more response in her life to you as her husband. What if you're here today as a single person or in a relationship but not yet married? And you're finding it hard to control your own sexuality and hormones. What if you're here today and you're desperately lonely? And you're tempted at times to drown your sorrows? What if you're here today and you're a young person and you're just curious about what others do and what goes on in the club scene and stuff like that? And you find it hard not to swim against the tide of doing what everyone else does and is so proud about as they waste their lives weekend after weekend. Do you still think this is not an issue for you? It is. And it wasn't just for that decadent Roman culture of Paul's day. It's for us today living in Launceston in 2008. When it comes to our personal lives, when it comes to our loves, and maybe you're a single here today, and whatever your age or circumstances, you can apply these things to yourself. You can understand, surely, that these are things when in your lowest, darkest moments, you are tempted. And they are there. They are there at the click of a mouse button, some of these things. What is going to help you as you live in the real world? That's the question. And Paul helps us to see it. Come with me to the right clothing in verse 14. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Remember, there's a big day coming. Jesus is going to return. He's your bridegroom. He's your lover. Are you going to cheat on him just because he's not standing in front of you right now? Of course not. You've got to get ready for the big day. It's going to be the wedding to beat all weddings. So, firstly, end of verse 14. Don't give a moment to thinking about the stuff that's going to let you lead you astray. Don't let your head enter where it shouldn't go. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Beautiful picture here where he moves away from the armour to the very person, the loving person of Jesus Christ, reminding us what he has won for us on his cross, causing us to go to him, to seek the filling of his spirit, to seek a mind that is shaped after him, to seek a life that is shaped by his grace, because that's what grace always does. It takes people out of the gutter and it rebuilds them in the image of Jesus. You see, the grace that saves you is a grace that shapes you. Unless you're asleep, in bed, or awake and hitting the snooze button. Paul wants us, the Lord wants us, to be awake, to be out of the spiritual bed of sin, and to be dressed, ready for the occasion. Congregation, how is it with you? Are you clothed with the Lord Jesus Christ? Some of you here may say, no, I don't even know what that means. Well, I'd like to let you know, as these verses have, that Jesus is coming back. And one day you're going to stand before him and give an account of your life. And unless you seek him in faith, you will be lost and doomed for eternity. So especially for you this morning, it's time to wake up out of the bed of your sin and come to the Lord Jesus who died on the cross of Calvary to save sinners, to seek forgiveness in that, and to seek him with all your heart that you might be saved. For why would you die when he is there to save you? Are you clothed with the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you are, if you believe that his righteousness is yours, that his grace has filled your heart, that his spirit has changed you and is working in you, are you still like some of the Roman Christians, lying in bed, hitting the snooze button? Are you up, but still in your pajamas or underwear? It's time to get dressed. It's time to be ready for the days ahead. And I'd like to encourage you, congregation, as I encourage myself with the words of this beautiful hymn, the hymn, Go Forth in His Name. You may know it. You probably sing it. Let me quote to you some of the verses. We are his children, the fruit of his suffering, saved and redeemed by his blood. We are called to be holy, a light to the nations, saved by, clothed with his power, and filled with his love. Congregation, countless other souls that are stumbling in darkness. Why do we sleep in the light? Jesus commands us, go make disciples. This is our cause. This is our fight. Dear people of God, go forth in his name. Proclaim to a world in darkness that Jesus rules, because now is the time for the church to arise and proclaim him Saviour, Redeemer, and Lord. You see, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. It's time to get up out of the bed of sin and get dressed for the big occasion. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, grant us open hearts and willing hands and quick feet and a heart that is on fire, that these words might be words which remind us of the exciting time in which we live. And Lord, if that need is there, touch our heart, transform our mind, change our lives, turn us around to fix our eyes on Jesus. Remind us that the one who first came as the babe of Bethlehem will return as the judge of the living and the dead. Remind us that he is our Saviour, and we have something to look forward to. Give us a heart that longs for your return, Lord Jesus Christ. And through these verses, grant us the incentive to be ready for your return. Oh, fill us with your Spirit. Help us to be a people who behave decently, who are clothed with gospel armour, and with the Lord Jesus Christ himself, that his name be exalted in this world. We pray. Amen. We're going to sing, congregation, Be Thou My Vision. We'll follow that with a benediction and then one more hymn.